The Brandenburg Concertos are regarded by most people as the greatest orchestral compositions of the Baroque era. Maybe some people disagree on that point, but they are surely the most recognizable orchestral works from the era. Welcome back to Accelerando. I'm Paula Tuttle, and this week, in honor of Bach's 334th birthday, we're going to dive into these masterpieces. It's the year 1721, and our hero, Johann Sebastian Bach, he presented 6 concertos for several instruments to Christian Ludwig, Margrave of Brandenburg. The works were written in his own hand, not by any other person or copyist. They were dedicated on March 24th, and Bach wrote, "As I had the good fortune a few years ago to be heard by Your Royal Highness at Your Highness's commands, and as I noticed then that Your Highness took some pleasure in the little talents which heaven has given me for music, and as in taking leave of Your Royal Highness, Your Highness deigned to honor me with the command to send Your Highness some pieces of my composition. I have, in accordance with Your Highness's most gracious orders, taken the liberty of rendering my most humble duty to Your Royal Highness with the present concertos, which I have adapted to several instruments, begging Your Highness most humbly not to judge their imperfection with the rigor of that discriminating and sensitive taste which everyone knows him to have for musical works, but rather to take into benign consideration the profound respect and the most humble obedience which I thus attempt to show him." That's hard to take. Bach bowing before a count. It's certainly a statement about the times he lived in. These concerti are some of the most sublime music ever written, and Bach probably knew it too. But here he begs forgiveness for their imperfection? Really? It was Bach's biographer that gave the nickname Brandenburg to these concerti. Bach simply named them 6 concertos with multiple instruments, and he dedicates them to His Royal Highness Christian Ludwig, Margrave of Brandenburg, etc., etc., etc. We think Bach wrote most of this music before he decided to present the 6 concertos to the Margrave. The 5th may have been the last one to be composed, based on a harpsichord Bach paid for in 1719 in Berlin. And at that same time, he was asked by the Margrave to present some pieces. As to what the Margrave actually thought of the works, or if he ever even heard them, is unknown. There's no record of him ever thanking Bach for the pieces. For one thing, the instrumentation of the concerti, it didn't line up with Margrave's band. So maybe he couldn't be bothered. The original manuscript looks unused, which doesn't really mean anything. Maybe Christian Ludwig didn't bother having them performed. It was too much trouble.
"What am I supposed to do with these pieces? There aren't enough horns to play the first, and a trumpet that can play delicately for the second. Does Bach mean for me to invite him to play the 5th as harpsichord soloist? I could put on the 3rd, but there aren't enough good violists to put on the 6th.
On the other hand, Bach's own ensemble in Cothen was well suited. The orchestration lines up nicely. Heinrich Bessler, a German musicologist, noted that all the concerti except for the 1st worked perfectly with the 17 players he had in Cothen. The 1st was written before Cothen, and it uses a much larger group. Concerto No. 1 features a cantata Bach wrote in 1713, Was mir behagt. This is the only concerto with 4 movements. We think he wrote the cantata around 1713 because there's also a sinfonia that exists as a completely alternative version of the Brandenburg Concerto without the polacca and the final movement. Bach was okay repurposing his music.
Oh.
It's the fullest and most complex orchestration of the six concerti. There are three full orchestral sections, strings, winds, and brass, with soloists in each of the sections. The second movement, Adagio, features solo violin and oboe. In the third movement, a solo horn joins the violin and oboe as a third soloist. The fourth movement treats the instruments in a variety of ways. There are 2D sections, then each as a group, meaning a woodwinds group alone, a string group alone, and horns alone, with an unusual accompaniment of unison oboes. The cantata this piece is composed from is called the hunt because of the use of horns, which were hunting instruments. They first appeared as orchestral instruments in the cantata and Handel's Water Music. The second concerto has four high instruments as solo instruments, very unusual, the violin, recorder, oboe, and piccolo trumpet, originally written for a valveless trumpet. It's made even harder because it's in F, and most Baroque trumpet music is in D or C. The trumpet gets a rest in the middle movement, and the orchestra takes a minimal role in the third movement, as the four solo instruments dominate without interruption from the orchestra. The third concerto might be to some people the best known, but it also has the most theater. If you've never seen this performed live, you're really missing the dramatic effect of the solo being passed around a circle. It's truly remarkable. The theme moves from the three groups of three players, three violins, three violas, and three cellos. And then it goes from soloist to soloist within the group, 1, 2, 3, and then down the line, 1 through 9. Such fun! The middle movement is more like a breather or a commercial break. The harpsichord improvises over 2 chords. Then the fun continues in the third movement. The fourth Brandenburg Concerto is perhaps the closest to an Italian concerto grosso. Some people think it was the last one to be composed, finishing out the set, and it makes sense.
I need one more concerto for my set, because I always like having 6 movements, 6 suites, 6 partitas, because there are 6 days in the week reserving Sunday for the Lord. Well, I guess I'll compose one more in the fashion most people are used to. I'll call upon a Vivaldi-like concerto and concerto grosso.
Bach transcribed this concerto a decade later, giving the solo violin part to the harpsichord. He did the same with a lot of his concertos, so he'd have some pieces for himself to play on the harpsichord. He also slowed down the tempo marking in the third movement. Presto became Allegro assai in the harpsichord version. The original score for the fourth Brandenburg calls for echo flutes, which we interpret as recorders. The recorders, in effect, echo the orchestra, as do the violins. The fifth concerto features flute, violin, and harpsichord. We as listeners may be used to keyboard as solo instruments, but the first performance of this concerto probably surprised listeners who were used to only harpsichord as a utilitarian instrument. This was the first concerto for harpsichord. As mentioned before, Bach was buying a harpsichord in Berlin at the same time the Margrave requested a few pieces from the composer. Can we put the two together? The harpsichord is not only elevated to soloist in this concerto, it becomes the dominant soloist. Here's the cadenza to the fifth, played by Alexander Wyman. Bach wrote a 65-measure cadenza, expanded from the original 19-bar cadenza. We see Bach getting more and more interested in the harpsichord as a virtuosic instrument. And we notice the second violin missing from the score. Since we know Bach liked playing viola in his Coffin Orchestra, we assume he had his normal second violin moved to the viola as he assumed the solo harpsichord position. The sixth concerto has no violins. The ensemble is two violas and a cello, supported by a harpsichord, violin, playing the continuo bass, and two gambas. The sound is dark and chamber-like. We know that Bach's Coffin employer, Prince Leopold, was an amateur gambist, so we think the easier gamba part in this concerto was written so he could play in the ensemble. Here's a bit of the third movement. Some say Bach wrote a part for Prince Leopold in an effort to soften the blow that he wanted to leave Coffin, or some even say he was changing the balance of power so he could end his tenure under the prince. In any case, we get this lovely piece that features the viola. Were the concertos performed in Berlin, or did the Margrave of Brandenburg leave them untouched until his death in 1734? We don't know. Maybe Bach wrote the works for ensembles he himself was associated with, and they didn't fit the Margrave's band. We don't know who the scores went to after Ludwig's death, and we only know they ended up with a pupil of Bach's, Johann Kernberger. Maybe he came across them in a tag sale. Who knows? But we're glad he snagged them. Kernberger left the Brandenburgs to Princess Anne Amalia, and she bequeathed them to a high school in Brandenburg for gifted boys. The first time the concertos were published was in 1850, when a German music theorist discovered them in Princess Anne Amalia's library, 100 years after Bach's death. In 1914, the original score was transferred to the Royal Library of Berlin. During World War II, the manuscripts were nearly lost. They were being moved for safekeeping to Prussia, and they were in the care of a librarian. The train he was on was under bombardment, and the librarian escaped, running through the forest with the scores under his coat. Today, the concertos are well known because of so many recordings over the years. I first heard the complete Brandenburgs performed at Eastman. John Celentano had the students perform all six on modern instruments. Performers included Paul Silver on viola, Mike Lipman on cello, and George Vosburgh on trumpet, and they all since have joined the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. Today, the Brandenburgs are played on period instruments and modern instruments alike. People change the orchestrations, and there's even a piano four-hands version by Max Reger. A recording of the second Brandenburg was sent into space on Voyager in 1977. It's easy enough to explore the many recordings of Bach Brandenburgs. With Bach's birthday being celebrated over 10 days, why not pick your favorite Bach pieces and listen every day? The Quartz String Quartet will be playing the third Brandenburg this week at Monroeville Library as part of the Bach in the Subways event. Bach in the Subways schedules the events worldwide in an attempt to get more people to hear and play Bach. I'll leave a couple of links in the show notes, including our quartet performance on March 27th. Have a great week, and show your love of Bach by playing, performing, and listening to live music. Please share this episode with your Bach-loving friends, and we'll see you next time.